I thought we were on at the same time as Loading Ready Run, and yet everybody's here. I'm so excited. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special edition of Sexy or Stupid. The panel that brings you... It's the panel that brings you the best, the worst, the weirdest, and the most intriguing sex scenes in games, and lets you make the final judgment. This is the second time we're doing this panel here in PAX, and I am so happy to be back. Some introductions. Please, curb your enthusiasm. So my name is Michelle Clough. I am a game writer and a narrative designer, and by day I write very mild-mannered, casual games, but by night I spend way too much of my free time considering and analyzing how games present sex, sexuality, and sex appeal. I've lectured at several game developers conferences on the topic, and I'm co-founder and chair of the IGDA Romance and Sexuality Special Interest Group, which is where game developers interested in exploring themes of love, romance, and sex in games basically come together and pretty much squee over Dragon Age a lot, so... So let's meet our awesome panelists in the order that they will be presenting.
I am Toya Kristen Findlay. I am an anti-squeer of romance. I am a writer and editor and a game designer and narrative designer in games. I co-authored the Game Narrative Toolbox, and I am also on the IGDA Executive Board for the Game Writing Thing.
Hi there, good evening, my name is Fred Wan. I am exactly the kind of narrative designer you would not expect on this panel. My main work is in card games. I worked on a game called Legend of the Five Rings. I currently consult and freelance with primarily a group called Muse Games.
Hi, I'm Matt Baum. One of my big projects right now is called Queens of Adventure. It's a podcast and series of live shows starring drag queens playing a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. So we are doing... So if you don't have any plans tonight, we're doing a panel at 9:30 in Hippogriff Theater with some drag queens, so come join us there.
Hi, everybody. My name is Leah Miller. I'm a non-binary she, her, or they, them game designer and writer. I've worked mostly in MMOs like Dark Age of Camelot, Warhammer Online, and WildStar, so I build worlds for people to fuck in. And I'm really interested in the kind of stories we can tell and kind of breaking up all of the heteronormativity and really getting weird. So let's get weird here tonight, guys.
Yes. An introduction of what this panel is and what it isn't. So this is not a general sex and games panel that tries to explore every theme about sex and sexuality. We're not trying to codify the one way to write sex scenes in games or how to tackle this topic. And there's several reasons for that. One of them being that the topic is extremely vast. The ways that games present sex are very varied, so it's very hard to come up with one unifying statement or conclusion or even observation. So instead, this panel is intended as a deep dive into some select sequences, looking at a small number of scenes and basically seeing what we can dig up from them, both good and bad. So this is how it works. I don't have a picture of our panel, so this panel from Game of Thrones will have to do. So everyone on the panel has picked a particular sex scene or scene with sex that they want to talk about. Maybe they love it, maybe they hate it, maybe they just have something really interesting and insightful to say about it. And each panelist gets a turn to present their scene. They'll set up the context, and then we'll show a video of the scene in question for the pleasure of you, the viewing audience. Video, there'll be a 10-minute timer represented by a little circle shape that will go around, and once it's full, then we're done. And in that 10 minutes first, the panelists who picked the scene will go into some detail about the scene. Why did they pick it? What elements stand out? What works? What doesn't? And so on. And then after they've said their piece, the other panelists are free to weigh in and share their thoughts and responses. Finally make the call. Using cheering or booing, you'll be able to cast your vote as to whether you think the scene is sexy or stupid. Now, I have sexy in quotation marks because obviously not every sex scene is meant to be sexy. So it's more voting on, do you think it was well executed, that it accomplished what it wanted to do, or did it just fall flat? So once voting is complete, we go on to the next video. So we did this 2 years ago, and we did a bunch of scenes then. Matt was on the panel. We did God of War 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, Inquisition, Rinse and Repeat, and Ride to Hell Retribution. Fun times. This year, we've got an even more eclectic selection of sex scenes, some of which are potentially not sex scenes, and some are really, really sex scenes. So with that in mind, I think it's time we get started. Let's launch into Toya's selection. Toya, take it away.
Before David Cage totally didn't bring you a ham-fisted allegory of the civil rights movement in Detroit Become Human. Before David Cage violated Ellen Page's privacy and trust by putting a nude model of her in Beyond Two Souls. Before David Cage pressed X to Jason in her David Cage wanted you to feel emotion. David Cage wanted you to feel passion. Even if you did. PAX West 2018, here's a dead ass dude and a very living lady in Indigo Cross.
Still not asleep?
No, I can't seem to relax.
It's hard to believe that it's all going to end tomorrow, isn't it? Fields, forests, cities, everything will disappear under the ice. And what's going to happen to us? It'll be like we never existed, like nothing important ever happened. Are you afraid to die?
Not anymore.
If we're both going to die tomorrow, we didn't meet under better circumstances. Maybe if things had turned out differently.
Had like the psychological meter, you saw that Carla was neutral and Lucas was anxious. I'm not sure why Lucas was anxious, because most women probably wouldn't want to sex a corpse. But you know, he got past that hurdle. But here's the most ridiculous part of this scenario. And as far as I am concerned, romance is for other people, but I did not sleep through eighth grade biology. And I learned that blood needs to flow, and there's something called circulation in order to get things pointed in the right direction. So, how did Lucas perform? And
right, y'all, he did get her pregnant.
What?
Silly scenes in Indigo Prophecy. They all have bad dialogue, they all have janky animations and cringy direction, but this by far is the most absurd.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for bringing that to share with the class, Toya. Do our esteemed panelists wish to weigh in on this topic?
Well, I cannot think of a sexier question than, are you prepared to die? It really sets the mood effectively. Existential ennui, immediately sets the scene.
And this scene totally predicted the Twilight corpse fucking dildo you put in your refrigerator so it's nice and icy. It was revolutionary. It was years before its time, maybe. I don't know, for what some people like.
By the way, this may be too late to mention, but this is an adult panel. If you're... if there are 13-year-olds who snuck in, don't tell your parents. Because we don't want to get in trouble. I'll offer something maybe a little bit sort of more prosaic, and that is, I think this scene highlights the fact that So, Tekken game is interesting because, you know, it's not always about the latest graphics and, you know, photorealism, but sex is something where if you don't have the tech in place, it's going to look awkward, and by awkward, I mean two mutant Barbie dolls mashing together in a vaguely uncomfortable way.
Didn't you like the lip-smacking sound effect?
Oh, no, yeah, that was great. I mean, it's funny because, like, I've seen scenes with similar blocking and framing in, say, Witcher 3. Witcher 3 is awesome. And see, that's the thing. Witcher 3 is, you know, several years later and is using, you know, higher fidelity, and as a result, it still has a bit of that uncanny valley look, but it looks at least a little bit more like human beings doing that. This does not, and I think it drives home the fact of, like, you know, game developers, if you don't think you've got the tech or your game is not set up to handle that stuff, don't handle it. The fade to black is there for a reason. My God in Himmel, use it, please.
Yeah, I will agree. There were a number of uncanny valleys visible in that scene.
I think the entire scene fell into the uncanny
valleys and peaks and...
valleys and peaks.
Oof. Yeah, and, like, here's the thing. Later on, Anders's, one of his early romance scenes, would really leverage that overwrought kiss sound effect thing to, like, display, and, like, the voice actor talks about how he had to be in the booth audibly kissing his own hand in order to properly display, like, how enthused Anders was with the kiss scene, but that actually worked despite ridiculous fucking sound effects in that one. And so it's sort of like, you can do ridiculous stuff in sex scenes, but you gotta be careful.
Yeah, I will say, like, the kiss sound effect in this really stood out to me. It sounded sort of like somebody pulling off a Band-Aid.
It sounded like bad 1920s radio folio.
Yeah.
Just imagine being the voice actor, having to do the scene, and try to make it work with that dialogue, or the artist trying to actually animate this passionless scene where the dialogue is trash.
I love you, Lucas.
Right? Like, you wonder if the artist's pen could not be made to draw that well, given the rest of the scene.
Well, we might have a scene about this later on, but it actually, it also drives from the fact of, as writers, we have to remember, just because something looks good on the page does not mean it sounds good saying it out loud. Maybe somehow looking at it and being like, Frozen, your eye... Your...
That could not have looked good on the page.
You're right. All right.
Frozen, your lips are like ice. I love you.
All right. Any other thoughts to share, Matt?
I feel like the only way that dialogue could work, if it was delivered by someone who was just, like, visibly unbalanced, like, it's dialogue that would work coming out of the mouths of, like, I don't know, like the Joker or something like that. The Joker and Harley Quinn. Like, I would want to see this that scene with those characters.
A necromancer.
I think that actually, I think that would work. In a completely different, yes, if it was in a completely different game with completely different technology, completely different dialogue, completely different voice actors, I think that's all we need to do to fix the scene.
All right. So if no one else has any other thoughts to share, we could now throw it out to the audience and ask you, audience, is it sexy? Cheer.
Yeah.
You are brave. You are brave human beings. I respect you. Or is it stupid? Pax has spoken. This sex scene is really fucking stupid. All right, so from something super duper explicit to something on the other end of the explicitness spectrum. So Fred, do you want to explain the chain of events that led us to this place?
You'd think a game called Darkest Dungeon is a lot more titillating than it'll end up being. I picked the scene because it is clearly a scene of sex, but it has no romance and no lust, and that's intentional. That the point of the scene is to show sex absent all of the passion and the commitment and the feelings that you would normally expect accompanying it, and not passing judgment on that. It's an example of sex in a game that is very transactional, very absent any kind of deeper meaning. And I wanted to explore it because I think it's an interesting editorial on how we have various mechanics in games above and beyond just sex that are meaningful things in life that are not in games and are regularly not in games.
All right, starting off the video. You'll need to explain what's going on, Fred.
Frustration and fury, more destructive than 100 cannons. Monstrous size has no intrinsic merit, unless inordinate exsanguination be considered a virtue.
Sexy Excel spreadsheet I've ever seen.
And that's the point. Darkest Dungeon is a dark fantasy game about despair and perseverance and suffering. The characters go through horrendous things, and one of the game mechanics is stress. Literally, that's stress relief. Obviously, they go to a brothel, they pay, you get drapes and pillows. It's sex. They're paying for sex. There is absolutely no hint of romance. There's no hint of passion. It's purely a coping mechanism for those characters. And that underscores the darkness of the setting, right? There's not even different music. It really is just a bunch of people getting through the day because they've just faced something horrific and they need to get their mind off of it. But one thing that came up when I was talking about this last night with a friend of mine was there's an additional thing to think about. The prostitutes in that scene are literally not people. There's no faces, there's no dialogue, there's no bodies. They literally don't exist except to facilitate the mechanics that the player is engaging. And that's something we should stop and think about because it's actually a little bit disturbing. And that kind of mechanic is prevalent in games above and beyond just sex. And don't get me wrong, I think Darkest Dungeon is one of the best indie games in recent memory. But even Darkest Dungeon is not flawless, because the scene, which is supposed to be primarily mechanical and transactional, has implications simply because the people that are being hired are not people. So that's why I wanted to cover it. It's clearly sex. It's not romance. But within the context of this story, that's probably okay.
Well, the interesting thing is, if I recall with this game, it has, I believe, debuffs that the characters can get, and one of them is actually that you fall in love with someone at the brothel, and as a result, your character can only go to the brothel for stress relief, which is, so it's even, there is love, but even the love is reduced to a mechanic in the game.
Or that it's tainted and obsessive and unhealthy because the character can't cope any other way. But given the overarching themes of Darkest Dungeon, which are not of bright and shiny heroes, but of people who are a little bit broken trying to get through something terrible, that kind of actually works.
And I don't know about you, Fred, but I find the efficient mathematical amelioration of resource-based statistical debuffs fucking hot. I see an efficient use right there of some in-game mechanics.
You know, something else that I really appreciate about this, and I think there are some problems here, but it really emphasizes the service that sex workers provide to people, that it's not it's something shameful, like you said, but it's actually something really good. Like, there's a beneficial impact. That having been said, the fact that, like, you literally do not see any evidence of them existing as people?
Right.
Like, do you not, like, even when you fall in love, like, with one of the brothel workers, do you never see them?
Even the main characters aren't actually given real agency in development. That, it's not that kind of game. So, but it's something we should think about rather than accepting any game. I'm not necessarily putting it forward as a criticism of Darkest Dungeon. I'm putting it forward more as a criticism of the lack of thought we as players and as developers sometimes put into making and consuming games. Right? Because I actually don't think it would have been realistic within the parameters of the resources and design time and narrow scripting of that game to make all that work. I actually think it would have detracted from the overall theme, but that doesn't mean that choice is completely without problem.
Yeah, it does seem a bit like they go there and just like are magically de-stressed. Like, I don't know, maybe they're just given like a bottle of lube or something and they have to take care of it themselves.
What's interesting though is one of the characters, the Vestal, one of her potential dialogue options, and the class is called the Vestal, is she just wants to be there for a while and rest her head against someone.
That's really sweet. I actually want, like, I want to read, like, think about that character.
Right, and like I said, Darkest Dungeon, really good game. Do check it out. But I wanted to use it as an example of some of the things we don't think about in the art that matter.
You mentioned something interesting that the music theme doesn't change. And, you know, if you go to gamble or you go to the brothel, you still get this funereal kind of drudgery in the background, which doesn't seem like relieving stress as much as having to do very hard labor.
Right, or that they're just coping. That's all they're doing. They're not building towards something. They're just trying to not lose it.
So there was a lot of vocabulary in that clip. I wrote down, what was it, inordinate exsanguination?
Which is totally going to be my band name now.
Great title for a romance novel. Also, at one point, I just saw the word on the screen, I didn't know what it was attached to, automatonophobia, which I just looked up, and it's a fear of like wax figures and automatons.
Right. The characters in Darkest Dungeons have quirks. And quirks have mechanical positive or negative effects. So characters can pick up quirks as they adventure, and if they are negatively exposed to too many things, they're more likely to pick up more bad habits or maladaptive behaviors. So there, that just causes, if you acquire I'm not even trying to pronounce it, it's like Saturday. if you acquire that quirk, your character will receive more stress when facing certain things. Because...
Can you acquire paraphilias? Can you acquire automatonophilia?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Although I think it's a different term where, actually, no, wait. No, your characters can only learn to hate. again, it is an editorial on the fact that in this setting, the characters are not your normal fantasy heroes. It's dark fantasy. Your characters can get diseases, not through magic, just through being bitten by a rat. And it works. But even then, it's not without some things we should think about.
One other thing I wanted to note is this is an interesting example of, I've seen in several games where there are brothels and places you can go for sex, but that don't actually show the sex, it just fades to black. And it's always, in other games, been this sort of weird mystery to me where, I get Witcher because you go to it, you pay 40 gold, you get a sex scene. But in Dragon Age, you pay 40 gold, it fades to black, a goat baws, and then you're like dumped outside. And it's kind of like, what is it that make players want to spend their money in that way in the game for the suggestion of sex rather than an actual sex scene? But here it actually has codified it into the mechanic where it's a stress reliever and you actually it actually affects your character.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing that I thought was interesting was the flavor text. One of them was, shall we settle on a safe word? So there's diversity of sex and the sex workers themselves do different things, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. It's very interesting.
Yeah, in a world where everything is dark and terrible and people can only learn to hate, they still recognize the importance of safe words.
Yes. All right. I feel that with that, we should move on unless anybody's got any pressing things. All right, well, obviously this was not intended to be sexy, but I will ask everybody. Okay. Do you think that this was a smart use of sex in games? Cheer? Or do you think, maybe not stupid, but maybe that this fell flat and didn't really work out? Boo.
Boo.
All right, so apparently PAX approves. All right, so keeping with the brothel theme, Matt,
yes,
please take us away.
Oh, are you familiar? You may know what's about to come up, but just in case you're not.
You said come up.
So basically all you need to know is, for reasons, the main character is seeking a garment, and they enter into a situation where, for some reason, they gain access to that garment unexpectedly. So I guess that's all you really need to know, so take it away.
Ha ha ha! say, and this is actually not joking, that I apologize. I actually should have probably warned for those sorts of themes before beginning the panel. I'm really sorry. I neglected to prepare that statement, so I apologize if that was problematic for anyone. I'm really sorry. But having said that, Matt, would you like to talk about the scene?
Yeah, problematic is one way to put it. What we would call it, a dense text, perhaps? There's a lot going on here. But I wanted to bring this up because it's an opportunity to talk about what I consider the sexiest thing of all, consent. Obviously, they are dressed to have a good time here. And there's, like, the tasteful framing makes it, gives you some opportunity to guess about what might be happening. But ultimately, it's just so frustrating because it looks like this is just a fun outing by a bunch of friends until you get to those lines where he's like, get out of my way, let me out of here, and it hurts. And then it's like, oh, this took a turn. This was almost fun, but it took a turn. Yeah, it's a real bummer because, you know, I will say, like, literally tonight up the hill at CC's on Capitol Hill is Fetish Night, and there are going to be a lot of folks hanging out doing exactly this, wearing exactly those clothes, and I would like to believe that in this community that we are seeing here, represented by these men, when someone says, this is my thing, they'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, sorry, I'll back off, do your thing. But instead, there's, like, what do they say, though? Just try counting to 10? That's not a great response. My favorite thing, though, I think about this scene is, like, reading up on it online, there are the folks who are like, there's a lot of debate about, like, what's actually happening? Is this okay? There are people who tie themselves in knots to be like, oh, no, it's all consensual, it's all fine. And then there are the folks who tie themselves in knots to be like, no, it's not gay. What are you talking about? This is just a bunch of guys, like, taking a bath together and cleaning themselves. It's totally fine. You just don't understand. Like, this is just something guys do. And I think that is my favorite response to what this scene is the levels of denial going on at that point. So anyway, there you have it. Final Fantasy VII, Mookie's Young Bubbies Club, which I would frankly like to know more about.
My first reaction to this was literally, dude, what the actual. The very dangerous stereotype of gay men as being predatory. It's just, I don't know how you can't see that this is not consensual based upon the very clear dialogue. He says, let me out, this hurt. Could you please do someone else? I mean, it's pretty apparent that he's not enjoying it and wants to get out. I missed this the first time I saw it, but she locks the door.
Yeah, and that's, like, weird, huh?
Yeah, and also, again, musical themes, the whole thing just sounds ominous all the way through.
One of the things that's worth thinking about, too, is the scene has no repercussions, and it has no impact on Cloud, not really. For the rest of the game, it never comes up again. Would you, would any of you expect this to not have some impact? Right? Does it even come, I haven't followed Final Fantasy VII since, but I don't think it comes up in any of the extra materials either, right? And FF7 is problematic in that there are a few scenes that are done as comedy bits, more or less, that are actually problematic when you look at them again, that are just one and done, they're just comedy bits, right? Right?
What follows this is a, again, textually dense scene that involves some cross-dressing from the main character. Like a lot of things you would expect from the time that this was made, it is problematic. But that having been said, I do have friends who remember playing this game, and they said, oh, after I played this game, I realized this was making me realize something that I wanted more of in my life. And so, like, a lot of games, like, games have this really amazing power to transport you to another place and another character, to let you experiment with identities that you can't experiment with in real life. And so there's an opportunity to do that here. Even with Cloud getting into the bath with a bunch of guys, this scene didn't come along for me when I would have needed a scene like that, but there were times in my life when I would have needed a scene like that to be like, oh, okay, a bunch of muscular men hanging out together and being friends. That is something I want to know more about. Instead, for me, it was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but... And there is value to this. It's just a shame that it's presented as, like, predators and non-consensual.
I also have the weebiest goddamn well actually for this, because the first time I ever went to a Japanese onsen, the temperature is much hotter than you expect, so I was going into a bath filled with naked women, and they told me to count backwards in 10, because that's how long it would take me to get used to the extreme heat of the water. So from my weeby naked bathhouse experience, I can actually see the implication that this is just good time, fun time, Japanese bathhouse, getting used to the water. Nothing suspect is happening here at all.
Yeah, I guess, but the invitation to the cabin out in the country.
That's definitely an implication, but I find it hilarious that people are trying to make it not gay, when it could actually be, like, you could actually say that the counting to 10 part, it's actually the counting to 10 part and the saying it hurts part, which sound really scary, are actually, like, parodies of Westerners trying to get in the bath in a Japanese bathhouse. Is they'll always be wusses about it because they can't take the hot spring, and then you tell them to count backwards from 10. And all the other stuff is deeply implications, but that one part is a joke about how wussy Westerners are about and how uncomfortable they are with nudity, with people of the same sex, and all of that kind of stuff. So I kind of appreciate the double joke that is unfortunately then tainted with homophobia and the implication that it's all some bad thing.
Right, predator prey thing.
Yeah.
There's another bit of very subtle dialogue that happens pretty quickly that I don't know if they were going for a pedophile joke, where he says, how old are you? And when Cloud is counting, he says 8, and then he says 21. Right. And he's like, oh, you're so young, you're half my age. I'm like, okay. Yeah, it seemed like it was going for a joke, but, you know, again, pedophilia.
Yeah, it just crosses that line. And what could be just like a fun, sexy time, oh man, and you're just like, oh, I need to just like delete a few lines from this game to make it okay. But of course, you can't delete the lines from the game because they are there.
It'll be interesting to see what happens if and or when the remake comes out.
Yes. There has been conversation about that, like specifically about this scene, like going back to almost 10 years, like I was looking at like various forums and things, people bringing up this scene as something that specifically is holding back a remake of this game. Because it is just like, ooh, what do you do about it? I mean, the answer to that is not difficult. What do you do about it? You hire a sensitivity reader, and you get a good translator, and, you know, you make adjustments. Because it's like there's some big problems.
All right, and with that, I think we need to move on to asking the audience. All right, audience, for cheers, do you think this scene is sexy? Again, bravery. Or do you think it's stupid? No. Audience has spoken. This needs to be revised. All right, so now we're going to get to something a little bit more cheerful, because we sort of had a few bummers. Leah, why don't you tell us about your pick?
Yes, okay. The Arcana is a visual novel that is available on cell phones. You can, when you're choosing your character, and you can name them, and you can pick their pronouns, and it has she, her, he, him, or they, them available. And that means that the sex scenes and the makeout scenes and all of the various sexy scenes have to be written a little bit more inclusively and in ways that I find really interesting and actually really sexy. And I was trying to find a good way to present this when it's just text, but fortunately, the brilliant ladies of Now Kiss, which is on the Loading Ready Run Twitch channel at, I think it is 9:30 a.m. PST every Friday, they do wonderful playthroughs of sexy, sexy visual novels, although they often are like, get to the really explicit sex scenes and are like, I'm sitting here with my best friend, I'm going to quickly advance through this scene, rather than out loud read hardcore gay porn with my friend. And this is like, they've said before that this is one of the sexier scenes that still met the caliber of what they were willing to read out loud with a friend in the room. So let's go and see. Let's see our lovely ladies perform this scene.
He throws it open with a flutter, arms outstretched, palm up in submission. Oh, definitely I want to make kisses with this man.
He went for the Duchess's waistcoat.
Search me. If you find anything of yours, I'll show myself to the stocks. Go ahead. Search until you're satisfied. He lowers his eye, presenting himself for inspection. The sight makes me grow hot at the ears, embarrassed.
Well, might as well. I paid money.
I think I will. The stunned look on his face, he didn't expect me to take him up on it. You're just full of surprises, aren't you? Well then, don't be shy. I promise I'll be good. I step closer, eyes roaming over his body, unsure of where to begin.
Torso.
Torso! Tenderly, I reach up and run my hands over his shoulders. I've never been this close to him before. There's barely a sliver of space between us. Not afraid to get up close and personal, are you? He cuts himself off when I slide my hands under his shirt. His skin is soft and surprisingly cool. When my fingers brush over his throat, I can feel his pulse jump. The moment my hands reach his waist, he suddenly turns, twists away, as slippery as an eel. No, 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 not there. I mean, I'm afraid I'm terribly ticklish. Don't tell anyone. Be our little secret. Hold it still or please stop moving.
I prefer less talking.
He almost overbalances, but catches himself the last second. Hold still. He bites his lip, flushing. Oh my god! I definitely read fanfiction that starts like this. Wow.
Almost all of it.
Yeah, he bites his lip, flushing under my stare, and obediently stands straight, arms at his sides. T-reference pose, please. I take a step back, catching my breath. Julian blinks quizzically at me. Done so soon? Why, you've only just started. You haven't even checked my other side yet. He's baiting me, but he's right. I haven't checked his back yet. I circle behind him and he twists around to watch me, not letting him be out of his sight. His eye is bright with interest, my cheeks warm under his shameless stare. I had no idea you were so hands-on. How daring of you. Aren't you afraid someone will see?
Did I say you could move?
No, you didn't. Then turn back around. He complies without hesitation. I can see the tips of his ears turn red. Interesting. A fine tremor goes through him when I slide my palms down his back. Besides, shouldn't you be afraid of being seen? Well, I suppose that's true. I run my hands over his hips, checking his pockets, and stop when I feel an unexpected hard edge. Don't worry about that. It's a knife.
A knife.
I am. He's incredible, but I can feel him nervously shifting the weight. I walk back around to his front, trailing one hand over his hip. He sways in my direction, but holds himself still with a visible effort. This is not an earned scene, but it's rad.
Yeah. Alright. So, yeah. So I guess you did get to see Loaded Ready Run.
There was some climax.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm going to explore some of the other paths this could take. If you don't windmill slam torso, as they did, and you search his arms instead, he actually entices you to be a little bit more dummy with him. He says, oh, you have such lovely hands, you can squeeze a little harder, you know. I won't mind. And then, true to his brazen words, when he bites his lip when I press more firmly on his other arm, but doesn't protest. And then we go to... there's another scene where he's then trying to sort of pull you closer and make this even more of an encounter, and you have the choice to either smack his hand away or ask him to please stop moving. And if you ask him to please stop moving, he says, so polite, I can take a little rough handling, you know, you could take more liberties with me. And then his tone is provocative, but the look in his eye is almost eager. And this actually sets up that this character is actually kind of into being more of a sub, and you can determine how your player acts by picking like a more polite option or a more firm option, and some of the scenes actually go farther and deeper and more interesting if you're a little dummy with him, and he actually, like, it's not explicit consent, but he's specifically asking for that if you initially take the gentler route. And I think that that's really interesting, and I think that giving your character agency over, you know, I've often played sex scenes before and gotten to the point where my character did something that my character wouldn't do, and the way they kind of subtly write these choices to let you express yourself and to imply the kind of scene you're going to get, I just think it's very, very clever. Was there more of this, or was this all of my screen?
No, that was all the stuff you gave me.
I thought that was what it was. I was just, I don't know. I got caught up. It's a great scene in my humble opinion. You guys will ultimately decide.
Quick question, is this scene like set just like out of doors, outside the door? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
well, great. The setup for this scene is he's coming out of your store where he keeps mysteriously being inside your locked store, and it's actually because he has a key because he used to date your boss, who is another hot dude or hot non-binary masculine person who you can also have a relationship with. So you have to choose between which of two ex-boyfriends and then their absolutely fabulous femme friend you're going to date. It's very good, or I think it's very good.
So, what, the game, it's the Arcanas?
Yeah, sure. And it's interesting.
Asking for a friend. The friend is me, I'm trying to be a better friend to myself.
And all of these scenes are written so that anybody of any gender could be in this sex scene, right? Or not sex scene, this is just a search. There was absolutely nothing sexy in that routine piece of police work that your character was doing.
So we were talking about janky ass Indigo Prophecy earlier, and like the awful animation and the awful art. I want to point out there's absolutely no animation at all in this. These are character portraits, and so they're different emotional states, they're different poses. You know, there's artwork where he's blushing more or less, there's artwork where his ears are red and where his ears are not red. And it's an exciting thing, I think, about interactive fiction, which is blowing up on mobile right now, telling really effective stories with, you know, really great art. You know, it's pretty simple if you think about it. But look how well that's done and how expressive he is, you know, and looking at something like Indigo Prophecy that had like 3D modeling and rigging.
Now, I don't know. I think Indigo Prophecy was so much more realistic. I mean, look at all the polygons. There were so many more polygons.
Yeah, this does feel like just a playable romance novel cover.
Yes.
Like, that could just be Fabio standing there with the title over him and somebody, like, clinging to his leg. And that's, honestly, that's all I need. Like, and the dialogue is great.
And this is on, like, because this is on the App Store, there's only so much you can sort of get away with, you know, putting on the App Store, so clearly they're not going to, you know, do stuff that's all the way, you know, that's that explicit. But, you know, even though, again, this is just a basic sort of search scene, it manages to charge it with so much sensuality and eroticism. Like, you feel the heat of the moment, even though nobody kisses anybody, nobody strips anybody, it's just... It's really well done. This is why I play this game.
And like one thing that's very interesting is when you're trying to write a scene that, again, doesn't have to go to the level where your player character's anatomy is established, showing the other character's response to you, like him blushing and him inclining his hips towards you and like straining to control himself, that's all very sexy without ever having any like actual, like, and here is our diagram of how a baby is made. And, like,
showing somebody's response is, and showing how attracted someone is to you, is often sexier than just a super explicit description of, you know, some hardcore wang action. I don't know. That is the phrase that jumped into my head. I'm very tired, and I may have had several drinks before I came here.
Best panel. I think the Wrap It Up folks may have actually been my arm nudging the trackpad, but I'll just check. Did anybody have anything else they wanted to add to this? Or are we?
I look forward to playing this game to find out what made this character slippery as a girl.
All right, so I guess then we will go on to the vote. Okay, everybody, do you think that this is sexy? Or stupid? You live your truth.
You live your best life.
All right. People with blue shirts, how long do we have? 5 minutes. Damn it. I had one. I wanted to offer either Q&A or one more scene from a little game you may have heard of. How much wiggle room do we have on that 5 minutes? Yay? No? Yes, okay. All right. I bring you the prize. So, for those of you that may not know the plot of Mass Effect 2, along with the usual sci-fi save the universe bullshit, there's several characters you can romance, and one of them is a human man called Jacob Taylor. The romance builds over several conversations until the end of the game when your ship and crew are on a suicide mission that no one fully expects to survive. And during the trip, whoever you're romancing comes to visit you, and, you know what happens. And this is how Jacob's scene plays out. Oops. All right.
Shepard.
Nope.
Look at this. Like sneaking into the captain's quarters. At risk. But the prize.
I was wondering when you'd show. What's your intention, Jacob?
To give the collectors every kind of hell I can. Suicide or not. But until then, I want all the time I can get. Win. Lose. It doesn't matter. I want you.
Sounds like you better make every minute count, Mr. Taylor.
I could say about this game, but I only have 5 minutes, so I have to make it really quick. So I have a big love-hate relationship with this scene. So let's start off with what I hate. I freaking hate the dialogue. The entire first half of the scene, frankly, I feel needs to be ejected into the Omega Relay. It's very, very cheesy. It's got that sort of weird, like, it feels like it's a porno or something, or like, you know, Ass Effect, the Jacob Taylor story. The worst of all, it doesn't really connect with any, like, it almost feels like the actual lines themselves are not really connecting to each other. They're just kind of spouting cliches at each other as opposed to actually having a conversation. And it doesn't really reveal anything new about the characters or their relationship. In fact, if you turn him down, you get quote-unquote better dialogue because that's the only scene in which one of your love interests will come right out and say, I love you. Which we could get into the thing about why he's trying to convince you to let him stay the night just by saying that, but... and this is what I was talking about earlier about how something that looks good on paper can really fall apart in the acting studio or under the hands of a director, because if I have enough booze and squint really hard, I can see possibly how a line like sneaking into the captain's quarters, heavy risk but the prize, with a different performance, may have worked. Not that performance. That performance did not get the line across correctly.
But here's the thing. Then his shirt comes off and suddenly the scene gets awesome. And I'm not kidding about that. I mean, for obvious reasons. But for one thing, he has a very attractive body, yes, but it's also very interesting because it actually highlights some of the difference, I think, between a male body that is shown specifically as an object of desire for the female character and for female players and for players who just are attracted to men regardless of gender. Because I've had so many people be like, oh, you like shirtless dudes? You must think that Kratos is really hot. And I'm like, no, I do not find Kratos very hot. Not only because of his body type, but because of the way the camera presents him. Like, if you look at the scene, the camera, like, you know, pans around, there's interesting lighting, he's got definition. Like, I thought a lot about this, okay? I think a lot about shirtless men. But the other reason I really love it is actually this expression on Shepard's face and the way that female Shepard behaves during the scene, because it's a really good example of a female character who's basically ready to hit it. She's like, she's actively interested and active in her desire. She's not reacting to someone coming in and doing everything. She's, after he kisses her, she basically takes the lead on almost everything. And at the time when this came out, I hadn't really seen a lot of that. You know, it was mostly most sex scenes I had seen in games were, you know, like, firstly, usually male and female character, and the female character was the one whose body got all of the, like, loving camera angles. I mean, even in, like, you know, the David Cage one, you know, it was very, like, you didn't see dead-ass dude's body at all. But here, you see, he is the person who she is desiring, and she's the active agent in the scene, and we get to learn about her. We get to see that, yes, she's really hot for Jacob. She really likes this dude. She wants to bone him. And I really kind of have a respect for that, and so I love the second half of the scene. I just really wish it wasn't prefaced by all that dialogue.
Is that...
Oh, no, they're saying time. Did I... okay, one comment from each person, and then I'll shut up. Yeah.
Is cheesy dialogue and excessively generic put-ons part of Jacob's previously established character?
That's an excellent question. I'll talk to you about it later, but yes.
I can't get past the fact that Shepard looks like a hellspawn.
Yeah, so Jacob sure does have a lot of teeth. At this point, we can just call him Teeth, because, you know. All right, quick.
This scene has something that is virtually unheard of in games, which is an actual good male ass, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, and honestly, my favorite part was the fact that Shepard had that cracked pottery glow ass Darth Vader looking face, because you don't see women like that presented as desirable. And I think it's remarkably progressive that you can have your evil glowing hellspawn and also be totally sexy. That's empowerment right there. All right.
Ask the audience one last time, is it sexy? Or is it stupid? Results unclear. Must test again.